Inside DJ's DVR, a television and film podcast, part of the DVR Podcast Network.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's DJ here, laying down that fat beat. That's right, I'm bringing you another podcast. It's been a long time. I left you, and I'm sorry. But a little lull in TV, little lull in time, and, you know, it wasn't that much to watch. But when I started tallying up what I watched, apparently there was a bunch to watch. So I, had a really, really busy start to the new year, rolled right into, February here, and I'm bringing you this brand new Inside DJ's DVR podcast. So sorry for the long gap, but I'm here and we're connected and you're listening and I'm bringing you this new episode. That's right. You're listening to it on the DVR Podcast Network. That's right. Hit us up. Patreon. We have a page, patreon.com/DVR is our main Patreon page where you can come support the podcast, get extra content, special things that haven't been released to the masses out on the Podcatcher apps. Otherwise, you follow us, DVR Podcast Network.com. That's right. We're on the interwebs. You could hit us up. We got an email, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up individually on my own, aside from the whole network, and say, yo, I don't need to talk to the corporate scum over at the headquarters, and I want to hit you up. That's djdvrpodcast@gmail, baby. I got the Facebook page popping, /djdvrpodcast. I'm on Twitter, @djdvrpodcast. And you know, we're everywhere. iTunes, Stitcher, Blue Note, Podbean, Podrats. It's everywhere. You could get us on any podcatcher app available. I really would appreciate if you leave me feedback. You know, even if you say, yo, this guy, you know, does a podcast a couple times a month, thought it was going to be more frequent. I was hoping it was more frequent. You know, I give him, you know, another chance. Write that in the feedback. I want to hear it. You know, tell me directly. Say, yo, I missed you. I know I got a couple people out there that reached out, and, I want to say shout out to everybody that reached out. A few people actually reached out. You know, we got Sandra reached out from Vietnam, sending me pictures. Gorgeous out there, telling me she's listening to the podcast on the sand in this beautiful resort. Peter's out there in Australia. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're feeling well. Hope you're listening. Hope you're liking the house music. He connected with me. You know, had a bunch of stuff happening. So, you know, we'll get into it in a little bit, but I'll give you a little breakdown of what's going to go on soon with the network. As you might know, Axl and Heath did their top 10 albums of music, and I said I was promising to follow up. Well, I recorded it, fully recorded. It's all ready to go, but I wanted to put music on it. And I didn't want to just put like a full song or like the whole album. Obviously, it would be ridiculous. So I kind of did like a little, mashup mix where I put like, a minute or two of a couple of my favorite songs and just, mixed it up. So I'm in the middle of doing that. I'm going to fully edit it. And that's going to be out. Look for that on the horizons. Another thing on the horizons, Westworld is coming back. And it's a great show. Last year, I'll give you a little history of how I got involved with it, but the Westworld Theory Cast started. Now Axel and Heath saw the show coming down the, in the lineup, and they're like, hey, listen, this would be cool, sci-fi show to get into. So they did it, and the episode one, and they had a stellar podcast, and they started breaking down theories like old school style, how Axel used to have the lost mythos with A. Huss, and Heath used to have his lost podcast. And they used to break down a lot of theories, and the theory stuff was a lot of fun with Lost. And, we got a little bit of Game of Thrones like that, but Westworld, it was like all speculation, and it was fun to just go hog wild. So these guys brought a great podcast, and Heath maybe around, you know, early season, maybe episode 3 or 4, got jammed up with some life situations and was unable to really fill his role as co-host of the podcast. So Axel called up his bullpen. He's like, listen, you know, I need some help here. You know, I can only do so much by myself. I need, you know, your layman brain to like bounce stuff off of. I was like, man, I'm so honored. Axel, you're the man. I want to do this. So I got into it. I paid a little more attention than I was, you know, just analyzing stuff now. And I'm really getting into it. Now I'm on the podcast as like a guest. You know, Heath is coming back. Bang. Find out Heath can't come back. Yo, Tim, can you fill in for the whole season? Yeah, man, I'm in. So we wrapped up the whole season. And, man, I felt like we had like this connection. And we had some really, really new fans to the fan base. I think that's where Gina linked up and came out of the woodwork. And she started really giving us some awesome stuff. And we had a lot of people hitting us up with stuff. And it was a lot of fun. So Westworld's coming back. And Axel and I are going to do a few podcasts leading up to the new season. And then the new season's going to come. And we'll be giving you a weekly podcast. Probably the day or two after the episode, and it's just going to be, you know, Tim Hines, Axel Foley on the mic, bringing you theories and wacky shit and fun talk, and we'll analyze the episode. And I think this year, I can't say positive, but you know, Axel's going to lay off the Reddit, because Reddit did kind of jam us up last year with some crazy shit, you know, putting some shit in our brain. And I don't even go on that website because I think it's ridiculous where people who read can't even spell read it right. So they spell Reddit. It don't make no sense to me. But I'm not even going to get into that. But be on the lookout. Westworld TheoryCast. Subscribe to that. Get on that. Don't just subscribe to the DVR Podcast Network page and, you know, think you're going to get it. You got to go on to your thing. Westworld TheoryCast. Get on that. Listen, maybe you want to refresh from last year, but we're gonna do a couple casts where we break down the first season again, knowing what we know now, and from a little different lens. So that's coming out. What else is coming out? Heath's promising to give another. Him and Chris promised to give another one of their how about them Cowboys podcasts, but it was a dismal end for the season for them. So I doubt that's happening anytime soon. But it'll come out. They gave a great, you know, little podcast on the film list the other day. Axel and Heath talked about a few shows, a few things I hadn't heard about. That was a good one. I liked it. I suggest you go check that one out. Thack Daddy's been hitting us with the experience. He watches a little more, you know, manga and Japanime, and he's really, really into his stuff, and I don't watch some of the things he watches and discusses, but I still listen because the way he describes things is so far out and so intelligently explained that I kind of feel like I don't need to watch a lot of the stuff to pick up what he's putting down, even though I can barely pick up a lot of what he's putting down because dude's like, you know, PhD type smart, you know, and I'm over here with my you know, regular GED, that good enough diploma, but it's all good. I'm on that microphone, rocking that on the mic, and I still get it because we got big brains and we like to explain and we like to absorb and listen, and that's what we do and learn, keeping it going. If you don't learn something new every day, you're not doing it right. It's right. You heard it here first. If you didn't hear it from someone else before, boom. If you didn't get all that, rewind it, listen to it again, because that's some knowledge. Bang. So those are some things coming out. I'm excited to drop my music pod on you guys. It's really, really feeling like I'm going to be proud of this one. You know, it might have been a little rambling in the beginning, but that's how I do. You know, I ramble it up. So on another thing about me, getting into me, because I'm talking about me, because it's my fucking podcast. DJ Tim Hines in the house. That's right. DJDVRpodcast@gmail.com. Get at me. Talk to me. Let me know what you're watching. So, I had a big thing happen this last week. 5 years and change, I've been with the Broadcast Network for Independent Artists, doing my radio show and my house music show. And we hit week 300. the 300th episode of the radio network. I've been there since the inception. Got invited by the radio program manager through a record label I was working at, and he was putting this thing together, and they were talking about a dance program, and they said, hey, you know, you want to get on this? And I said, yeah, sure. And, you know, at first, I didn't know if they realized how consistent and committed I was. So, you know, I love my music, and I'm you know, house music, and I got my chance to put my shit out there for the world on, you know, 4 different feeds and 4 different time zones, basically airing 16 times a week. And I jumped in hard, and when I go hard, I go hard. And I made a lot of connections with labels over this last 5 years. I've been getting promos like crazy, and this has evolved to, I set a record out of all the DJs on the network. Little humble brag, but I've never missed 1 week of a new show. I've always submitted a brand new show each week. Now these shows aren't live. I record it in the studio, and it's submitted, and the show is aired. Now, out of those 300, every single one have been different. And I can give you a very, very, I would say, narrow number, close guesstimation, that I've repeated 12 songs. In that 300 hours of music, I've repeated 12 songs. That means I've played average on each show, 12 songs per show, 11 to 12 songs per hour. Out of all those songs, do the math. So let's see, you know, let's just rough it out at like 3,100 songs. So let's say we're at 3,200 songs. I've repeated 12 or so. So I give love to people who send me music. I give love to all the music out there. You know, I really take pride in what I do with the music. And I love the house music. I love all the different subgenres of house music. And each show I try to, you know, dedicate to that subgenre. And that's you know, that's something that I feel like is a big deal to me. And, you know, I wanted to share with you. I'm proud of it. 300 shows consecutive. I just showed Axel a little stat before. I took all my shows and I put them into one folder, and I actually clocked it. If I played all the shows from start number one to the end, it would play for 12 days, 12 hours, and 54 minutes, roughly. So, yeah, pretty cool. So, you know, that's where I've been at. I've been working hard on that stuff. Been real busy. Caught a little bit of that sickness, that winter sickness, no flu-ness, but like that rundown achiness where I lost motivation and I'm like, I had this podcast thing open like 3 times, I'm telling you, the last few weeks, and I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. One day I was like, well, the nasally, like, I can't get a podcast like this. Oh my God. So I'm like, fuck it. So I haven't done shit. Then I'm like, all right, let me start writing down what I've been watching. So I got to the point where I'm like, it's time. People been aching. People been asking. Axel's been breaking my nuts. He's like, let's go. I want to hear some shows. He likes to listen to a lot of podcasts. So, you know, if for anything, we got to do it for him. So I'm kicking it off. We're going to jump into it. DJ, give me that beat.
Let's see what's in the box. It's time for grab the remote and press play.
All right, so we're here. DVR is queued up. Erased some shit and going back, looking what I watched. And I watched a little bit. Not too much network programming. So we'll do the shows first. And I watched more movies this time around since the last podcast than I have shows. But I'll talk about a couple shows. So let's jump into my favorite genre of programming out right now. One of Axel Foley's favorites, comic book stuff, Marvel, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know he doesn't watch that, but he loves his comic book stuff. So, you know, if you guys ever get comic movie and TV knowledge and, you know, you want to tweet at him, that would be awesome. He loves that stuff. So Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've been talking about it together for a little bit, and I've been telling you I'm a little on the fence. Well, it finally started pulling together. We got Robin. I'm not going to really go episode by episode. I'll talk about some stuff, you know, major plot points that happened and where we're at. But it really came together. It took a little, you know, too much time, I feel, in this dimension, in this future here. And, you know, I was a little like, eh, but it's paying off. We got a lot of cool stuff with the Kree. We got to see Robin as an old person and how, you know, May raised her, which is like completely out of May's character, and how the Earth really got destroyed, and the, you know, destroyer of worlds was Quake, and how Quake wanted to make this decision when they came back to figuring out how to get back and how to reconstruct the obelisk to, you know, return back to their timeline and set things right. And we got a lot of character growth in Mac once again, who I feels like the unsung really great actor out of this whole thing. He's, to me, really, really good. He's got a lot of different emotions. The things with his daughter, like, that came out of left field. You just expect him to be like your brute, you know, rough, tough guy, like some kind of extra out of the Expendables. But he totally sets it like as a great agent, because he doesn't have the superpowers. Granted, he's strong as shit, but he's not like, you know, powered up like some of these other agents and people on the show. So Mac's character development and growth, I'm loving. Fitz, just cool as hell the way he came through. With that other weirdo guy, I forget his name, I'm not going to really reference him, that like robotic guy. You know, we've seen all the cool moves they had to make to get back to the timeline. And was it stretched out a little bit too much? Yeah, but it's network. They got 23 episodes. They got, you know, fill in between season type, you know, show where, you know, in the dead season, they're playing them. We're not getting another episode till March 1st. So it was fun. I enjoyed the ride. Granted, it wasn't the best season, but they're setting us up for the Kree. I believe that's going to lead into the next Avengers movie, Infinity Wars, and just kind of, you know, wetting our beaks with some of this far out stuff to kind of get used to in the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe and Televerse, and stuff like that. So we'll leave it there with S.H.I.E.L.D. It wrapped up fun. Why am I still talking? I said I'll leave it there. So I'm leaving it. Another show, sci-fi show. So happy it came back. It's been such a fun season so far. The X-Files. That's right. The X-Files. I haven't talked about it yet, but 6 episodes aired, and it's been really cool. Really, really cool, because I thought it was going to be 6 episodes total, and I found out it was going to be a couple more, and that made me happy. Heath actually told me that. So, and that was like episode 2, and I'm like, you know, I want mythology, and I want to see like the story arc keep going, but there was a lot of fun episodes hidden in there. One kind of real funny thing that happened is there was an episode that talked about the Mandela effect. And just like 3 or 2 days before that episode, I was talking to one of my buddies about the Mandela effect. And he was telling me about this whole thing about how there's like things that people think that were in their past, but they get confused because they were said wrong most of their lives, and like they just don't fit. And I guess it's kind of like a conspiracy theorist kind of thing. And they did like half an episode about it. And it was kind of like a comedy type episode, but it was in there. And I thought that was funny. Gave me a little more connection to, the episode. But I love where they're going, where they're supposedly, you know, I just gave air quotes. I know you can't see, but I air quoted the mic. Where they're supposedly wrapping up. This is going to be it. And there's big plans that, Fox's father, the Smoking Man has to destroy Earth and set upon this, I guess, plague type disease that will, you know, destroy everything, destroy mankind, and start over for the people who have half alien DNA and half human DNA. So this is where it's headed, and they had to find William, their son, who's apparently a big factor into either stopping or creating this event to happen. So, you know, it's been a fun ride all these years. I've watched X-Files, seen them all. I've never went back and rewatched, but, you know, I've watched one, you know, here or there on reruns, but nothing like, you know, committed to rewatching the series. But, you know, in my mind, I know the whole, you know, overarching theme and all, you know, the general plot. So, like, I remember it all and I love it, even though it's been so many years in between, you know, seasons. And last year was kind of like a mini season, but it's great. You know, if you love X-Files, how could you not like this stuff? It's just Fox and Mulder, they're just Fox and Mulder, Fox and Scully, they're just so a perfect TV pairing. We've grown so fond of them over the years, and they just seem like they're having so much fun being back together. And I feel they're doing really good acting jobs, especially, you know, Scully. She's going through like these weird dimension episodes and things that's not a dimension, like a dream state. And she's doing such a great job. And she's just really, really, really getting more and more beautiful as she's getting older. And I think it's just good for her. Good for her. Because, you know, it's hard to do. All of us get older and not all of us look prettier and more attractive. We'd like to, but it's not the case. I got a face, you know, a face for radio, they say. But it is what it is. It's what we're doing. X-Files, that's the shizzy, baby. All right. So, let's do another show. I've been told about a show for a little while that I should be checking out. And I'm that, you know, it'd be really cool. Like, I'm that tech guy and I'd like it. So, it's a Netflix show I watched. I watched season one, season two. And it's called Dark Mirror. Very cool. I wish I kind of watched it a little earlier, but I'm glad it's not humongously long episodes. These, you know, I believe it's a British show. I'm not even sure where it's from, but the European styles like to give shorter, they call it series, but on Netflix they put it as a season, but yeah, they give shorter series. And I think sometimes it allows for better storytelling and sometimes not the production, but better. It's more engaging. I feel like the storytelling is better. I guess they have time to develop it a little better and richer. So if you haven't seen Dark Mirror, I keep saying Black Mirror. If you haven't seen Dark Mirror, it's basically telling, it's like a Twilight Zone of the future, basically saying, this is what we do with our tech. And this is how the shit gets out of hand. So the first episode was wild as fuck. It was this essentially simple plot that could happen in so simply in our time. And it used the mass frenzy of people. And I'll give you a little rundown of this one. I'm not going to give them one, you know, on all the ones I watched. But this one was so wild because it took a kidnapping of... I'm not sure how the royal family works, but someone a few lines down the royal family who could never really take the throne, but like it's still, I don't know, I guess you call them duchess or something like that, could still have you know, they're still in the royal family. And she gets kidnapped and the person makes a demand that he wants the, I guess, prime minister, I believe it is, to... go fuck a pig, basically. Take a dead pig and or a live pig and fuck it on TV in front of people to get the girl back. And now with all their resources, the government resources, you know, MI 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and all them guys, and you know, SAS and whoever the hell was involved, they're all trying to track down who's doing this, and they can't track it down. And all of a sudden, I guess the person just realizes that, you know, they're faking. So a finger gets sent and, You see her screaming a video, and now another demand gets made. It has to happen at a certain time. And you see, like, the internet start taking polls of the people, and, you know, in the streets, and should they do it? At first, they're all appalled, like, oh my God, no way. And then when they see the finger, they all feel so bad, and they don't want her to die. And, excuse me, and they wind up changing public opinion so much that the government puts so much pressure on them that he starts fucking this pig. And it turns out it was the guy who did the threat, like, you know, basically saying, you guys are all assholes. Like, you know, you fell victim to the public when, you know, this was merely a threat. You shouldn't give in to threats. And it's all our technology, basically, like YouTube and social media coming together. And it's like a slap in the face of our own tech. So it was just so wild and intriguing, and like a crazy first episode where a dude fucks a pig. And I'm like, all right, I like it because it's out there. So I watched the first season. I really enjoyed it. The second episode was wacky. The other two, really good. Then I go to watch season two, and I hit play, and it's this episode that I freaking loved. It's about a computer programmer creates a whole world, and it's like a giant, massive, immersive video game, VR. And he creates his own one in his house. And his is like Star Trek. But he takes DNA of people he knows and locks them in. And they're so real inside there. They feel so real from the real DNA that they almost feel trapped. And it's his whole plot to get into the other network. And it's so wild. And I love the episode. And then I realized I watched episode one of season four. So I was like, yo, what's up, Netflix? They didn't put it in order. So I just went back and I watched season two. And I really enjoyed season two. So now I got season three and a couple episodes in season four. But Dark Mirror is super cool for anyone who likes tech and wants to see, you know, the irony of how it could get blown up in our face. And how, you know, even in the near future, some of this stuff's going to make us not so human-like and strip us of what we know of humanity and make us a little more robotic and drone-like. So very cool show, very out there. I liked it. I liked Dark Mirror, and I'm going to keep watching it. Hopefully I'll tell you a little more about it, you know, when I watch more episodes. So last for the TV, I watched a bunch of shit, but it's nothing worthwhile talking about. But a new season of an old show came back. It was Homeland. Homeland came back this week, and it was season one. Not season one. Season, I don't know. Not going to look it up. But season something, 5, 4, 6, whatever. Episode one. I'm going to just simple description, I guess, my review. I didn't like it. It sucked. It was weird, slow, boring. But I'm going to give it a shot. I'm not going to talk about it because it's episode one. I don't know if you saw it yet. I thought this one sucked. But the show's taken me on a ride where a couple things sucked and it got good for me. I've never not liked the season. So whereas a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't like this one, I didn't like this, I've liked every one. So hopefully it'll turn around. So those are my shows that I really watched that are worth talking about. And we did it. We made it through the DVR. But I still have more. More movies I DVR'd. More movies I watched on Redbox. I got a couple things given to me. So let's start the rundown. So I watched, one night I was sitting just watching, flipping through the channels. I watched a movie, I think it was like 2016, called Black Sea. And it had Jude Law as a captain of a submarine who gets fired from like a marine salvage, you know, company. And they go looking with the team for a sunken U-boat from World War and the World Wars. I don't remember which one used U-boats. I'm terrible with the one and two. I don't know which exact devices and planes and tanks and, you know, I'm not really good with that. I know who won and who was, you know, aligned in which ones, but I don't know the proper equipment. So I'm going to say the World Wars. One of them, they go for a U-boat. You know, if you know what a U-boat is, it's like a submarine boat that was shaped like a submarine. I don't know why they called it a U-boat, but whatever. All right, so I guess underwater boat, I'm guessing. I don't know. Don't quote me on it. So I'm taking a shot out here. So anyway, they go looking for the submarine. A lot of shit happens. It was kind of like a thriller slash suspense slash like, I guess like mystery. So I liked it. It was fun. I wasn't expecting it. I saw, you know, Jude Law, kind of gave it a shot. And I don't know, I like him in movies. And this one was good. So I don't want to give any more away because a lot of weird stuff happens. But it's a lot under the sea. If you're claustrophobic, it might give you a little bit more of the heebie-jeebies. But it was fun. Let's get to another movie. I watched War for the Planet of the Apes. Now, I really like this series. I really like the first one that was rebooted with Caesar was when he was created with James Franco. I really like that one. That was my favorite. The second one was very good. The third one was good. I don't want to say very good. It was good. Maybe a little too long. Maybe a little too far out. But I really love the story and where it could go, the whole thing and the you know, I was hooked after the first reboot. I mean, I loved them all from the 70s, you know, they were all great. I was, you know, my cousin who I always really liked his movie tastes had given me the DVD when DVDs first started coming out as a present. And he's like, you know, this is one of my favorite old movies. And I know you've seen it, but you got to have it. So I have it. And I love them. They're great movies because they just really put a spin on everything. And while they're entertaining, different, completely groundbreaking, when they, you know, especially the old ones, they completely have this wild, you know, twist on society and where we can go and humanity, what we do, what we're responsible for. And it just, the whole story arc is great. The movie itself, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Woody Harrelson takes a little bit over the top. Caesar's the best. And I love all the apes. You know, I could do without the humans. I could watch a whole movie with the apes just creating their own society. I love that whole aspect, even of, you know, in the second one where the apes, you know, kind of battle amongst themselves more. This one has that a little bit, but it's more, you know, the unity and trying to, you know, just survive and you know, maybe cohabitat with the humans, but nobody wants to have that. You know, everybody wants the world for themselves. You know, everybody's living in that NIMBY, not in my backyard. I'm not having apes living in my trees trying to make civilization, you know, but whatever. We'll see where we go and what we screw up in the future. But, you know, as far as the trilogy's gone so far, I thought it capped it off well. I'm not sure if it's going to be more in the storyline. So as of now, I called it a trilogy. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was very entertaining. A little too long. That was my only knock on it. All right, let's get into another one. I don't even know why I want to talk about it. I wrote it on the list because I watched it. It was called The Hitman's Bodyguard. Samuel L. Jackson. I don't know. It was wacky. It was really wacky. I kind of thought it tied into like that Kingsman series. But it didn't, and it was just as wacky, but it sucked. The storyline sucked. I can't believe they got some of the actors they did in it. But I don't suggest it unless you really want to waste some time. I watched it at a place where I was able to waste a lot of time and it didn't cost me anything out of my life where I was really missing out on anything. So it worked out for me, where I was able to watch it, but I watched it. So I added it to the list. But I don't recommend that one. So, yeah, you know, can't all be flowers and rainbows on the show, kids. You know, I'm going to tell you about some shit. There's a lot of shit out there. Speaking of shit, let's get into this shit. Now, you guys know I love me some Marvel comic movies, Marvel, you know, stuff, comic stuff. I'm a big fan of it. I like reading comics. I like it all. Now, DC, I never got into. I just have a big gripe with DC. There's a lot of stuff that just seems so unrelatable, as if that statement makes any sense talking about a comic book world. But I could never relate to DC. Batman was my only, like, grounded guy where he made the most sense, his stories. Everything else was so wild and not grounded in anything I could get to. But when I got to, you know, to the movies, you know, I watched all the Dark Knights. I love them, obviously. Those are fantastic. I watched, you know, the reboots of the Supermans. I watched the, you know, the Superman versus Batman. Like, I wanted to, you know, really not watch it, but I watched it. Then I watched that silly ass, what do they call it? Harley Quinn and all them with the Suicide Squad. That was fun. But as far as like the rest of them went, I didn't really think, you know, like it fit, but they're all sucking. They're all my suck platter. But now everybody's like, you got to see Wonder Woman. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. Now I'm like, I'm not paying for the theater for this, but I'll watch it. So I got in the red box and I'm sitting down. I watch Wonder Woman. The first, let's say like half hour of the movie, they're on this island and you're getting like the history of, you know, the Amazons and where Wonder Woman came from, her mother. And I liked it and I'm watching it. And all of a sudden, we're in the World War. And I believe it was World War One this time. And all of a sudden, here comes Captain Kirk and he crashes his plane through their invisible shield on this island. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And now I'm watching it and I'm like, this is out of control. And here comes the Nazis and they're looking for to bring Wonder Woman now back and fight the Nazis, who she thinks is Ares, the god of war. And I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? So now I'm like thinking about the movie and I'm like, all right, so they have an old resurrected, not really resurrected, but a past superhero, and they're going to put her in World War One. Let's see. Wonder what comic did this 12 years ago? Oh, Captain America. Let's go back to World War One and Captain America Origins and fight the Nazis. And this is what we were doing with Wonder Woman. I'm like, come on, what a ripoff. This is such bullshit. And I'm waiting like for it to end and, you know, meet up with Batman and Superman and Justice League. Nah, this whole movie went like this. There was a fucking 20-minute sequence of watching Wonder Woman get dressed in what would be, I guess, 1940s clothing. I'm like, what in the fuck? This shit is so dumb. I just was so pissed. And I really wanted to like it because so many comic book people I know love the movie, but I just hated it. I really didn't like it. And, you know, just hate me if you do, but all I said, it was Captain America with boobs. That's basically what it came down to. Captain America with boobs in the movie. Because, you know, Gal Gadot, she's gorgeous. She's a really great actress. I liked her in the movie, you know, as her acting and everything. But, you know, it's all they really accented, her boobs. And you know, I know that's a big deal in comics and they always accentuate them and everything. But, like, I don't know. I just didn't need it. I didn't need the movie. I didn't need it at all. I think she looked better when she was fully dressed, actually, in the full outfit. You know, the full, she was, like, dressed like a soldier. Almost like a spy outfit, you know, but oh, what a waste of a lot of money. I feel like it was a lot of goofy effects at the end and the main fight with the boss sequence. Oh, just so unnecessary. I bitched a lot about it to you guys and a lot of other people. And I'm stopping now. I'm going to go to a good movie. A movie, another superhero movie. But this one is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I finally saw Thor Ragnarok. Holy shit. This was funny as hell. I was not expecting this. I was expecting a little more serious Thor, as in like sort of the first one. Not funny. This was good funny. Like, this was better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2 funny. Volume 2, rather, of Guardians. Even though I loved Guardians, I thought it was great. But Thor was funny as hell. Like, they even, you know, got to make Hulk funny. Because there's a lot of good, you know, runs of the comics where these guys have, you know, good banter. And even though there's turmoil in the universe or the planet or, you know, the region or wherever they're at in the book or what, you know, whatever you're reading at that time, you know, there's usually some kind of comedy splashed in there. And this one was really good. And you got the main villain was Hela, his sister, and it was Cate Blanchett. I was like, holy shit. Like, I love Cate Blanchett. I think she's one of the greatest actresses of my time. I love almost everything I've ever seen her in. And she plays such a great villain. And this was such a cool role for her. I really enjoyed the movie. Now, you know, Axel will break my balls and be like, ah, it's ridiculous. It's fun. It's not a you know, film that's beautiful, but they did a really good job. I thought, like, the effects were really good. It wasn't, like, whacked out. Like, Doctor Strange kind of gave me a headache, but even though that was, you know, really wild and out there, this was good. And I loved how it led, you know, it's going to, you know, lead into the Infinity Wars. And, you know, we got, you know, how the rules of, you know, not the rules, but like what Asgard really is. You know, it's just essentially, you know, does it have to be a certain place where they were, can be where they're at. And, you know, that it's always one of my favorite things. Like, home is, you know, where you are. It's really not a place. It's just where you're at, where you feel comfortable. That's your home, you know, and that's home. So, you know, to quote Joe Dirt, not Joe Dirt himself, but I don't remember the character's name, but, you know, home and roommate. And Joe Dirt says, what? You like to see homos naked? He said, no, home and roommate. He said, you like to see homos naked? He said, oh, home is where you make it. He said, oh, home is where you make it. That's right, baby. Home is where you make it. So we're going to bring Asgard, looks like, to Earth, somewhere near Earth, maybe the moon. Maybe we'll see Utao, the Watcher. I don't know. We'll see what's going on out here. But I love what's coming down. I've seen a lot of good trailers. I've been watching every little nook and cranny trailer and teaser for what's being released this weekend. Is the Black Panther Marvel fantabuloso looking movie. I don't even know if that's a word. I made it up, but if it is, hopefully, you know, I'd get it, some language. But fantastic. It looks so good. The effects look incredible. His suit looks incredible. The whole scenes from Wakanda look amazing. Now, if you're not familiar with the Black Panther character, it's a really good book. It's been around since the 60s. One of the first characters they made, you know, back in the day when there wasn't a big lineup of characters. Black Panther was, you know, always had a political angle with what was going on to their country and being exploited for their resources. And Black Panther always brought a different, you know, he was an Avenger for a time, and he was, you know, down in the Civil War. They didn't show a lot of him, you know, with the Avengers, because that was like 60s Avengers, you know, like. But there was times in the comic history he was all over the place. But he's been down with everybody. Wolverine, you know, he's got sick technology that comes from vibranium, which is a stone came from space that's in Wakanda, the only place on Earth where it is. Now, you might have heard vibranium before. That's what Captain America's shield is made of. You know, there's been pieces of vibranium out there. People didn't know where it came from, but apparently it's going to get exposed now that Wakanda's exposed. And this movie looks fantastic. So that's coming out this weekend. The Infinity Wars trailer looks awesome. So I'm loving it. Loving it. Marvel, keep bringing it. As far as bringing it, you know, this is going to be the last movie I watched that I'm going to talk about for this episode. And it's a movie with James Franco, who I'm a big fan of. I love almost all his movies. A couple of the silly shit, you know, a little too much silly shit with some of the movies. But this one was silly shit that had me actually laughing out loud. It was Why Him? With James Franco and Bryan Cranston, and they're, you know, James Franco's courting Bryan Cranston's daughter. James Franco's a rich, crazy tech geek who doesn't really fit with Bryan Cranston's personality and lifestyle, and they just clash, and the whole movie just made me laugh, and it was a great comedy that just made me chuckle. I loved it. And I like it, you know, when you get to see Bryan Cranston so straight, you know, he loosened up a little bit, you know, at the end of Breaking Bad, you know, but like season one Breaking Bad, so straight, you know, Malcolm in the Middle, he was straight, like he's good, he's so good at what he does. And this one, he was so like dorky, and it was a good role for him. And James Franco was just like, you know, far out rich guy, cursed like a motherfucker. And it was a funny ass movie. I needed a good comedy when I watched it. And when I watched it, I laughed out loud, which is tough to really say. Like, that LOL shit gets thrown around way too much on the internet and on text messaging and whatnot. But like, I actually did LOL, you know, like two or three times, you know, not like, ha, way, you know, belly laughs and shit, but, you know, like little, like, you know, little gut busters out, you know, little laughter. It's good for the soul. You got to laugh. I hope you laughed at me. I hope you laugh at me often. You know, I want to bring joy to you. This is entertainment. I want you to be entertained. Entertainment shouldn't be something you listen to and be like, ah, I just listened to that. I want you to be happy when you listen to this shit. You know, maybe even like do a little like something like, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Yeah. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, I cleared out my DVR of a bunch of space. Oh, I cleared a bunch of space. Now bring on March. That's right, baby. March is coming. TV's coming. And I'm loving it. We got a lot of good stuff coming out. Hopefully, I'll be able to give you a Black Panther rundown next episode. Hopefully, I'll be talking more stuff next episode. And maybe I'll get Axel on here if he wants to come on. I haven't had him on, you know, in a while. You know, maybe we could talk Oscars after that shit goes down. Because I don't really know nothing about it. He's about it. He watches a lot of that stuff. The ones he sees for free. And the ones he can get screeners from. I know he's got some screeners. Because he's like, Hollywood knows it could, if you know what I mean. But that's what's up. Hopefully someday I'll be getting screeners, because they'll be like, yo, Inside DJ's DVR podcast, we need you to watch these movies because you're now part of the Motion Picture Association of America, since we heard you slander us on many podcasts talking about bullshit award shows. Fuck it. This is how I'm doing it. I hope you guys liked it. I'm back. I gave it to you raw, Tim Hines style, and that's it. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for listening. Stay connected. Twitter, at DJ DVR Podcast. Facebook, /DJ DVR Podcast. Gmail, DJDVRPodcast@gmail.com. And on Patreon, donate, subscribe, like us. Patreon.com/DVR. Thank you. I'm bowing to the mic, and that mic bow is to you. One love. Peace, love, and podcasts. I'm out. ABC ya. Oh, shit. I hit pause. I'm supposed to hit stop, go up, delete. Do you want to delete this episode? Yes. All right. Done. Howdy, 5000.